in a city known for crushing hopes and breaking hearts. This screening benefits the Living Room. Again, that's La La Land showing Monday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 6 o'clock. It is 71 degrees outside. Up next is Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Our second guest is Donna Hammett. Now tell me you haven't heard that name before. Anyway, Donna is a business representative of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 48. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, you tell me what's up. So,
it's
what's
14
going down?
Years.
That's right. So what's going down?
It's our Dr. Charles Drew Blood Drive that's coming up on Saturday, June 15th at the American Red Cross. And what we're doing is we're trying to look to get 100 donors to come in and donate blood. So our goal is 100, but we need to sign up at least 125 people to achieve that goal. So 14 years and counting.
Well, that's great. So exactly where should people come to donate?
They should come on the 15th. It's at the American Red Cross, 3131 North Vancouver Avenue. That's Portland, Oregon, 97227. And the blood drive hours are 7:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. We schedule every 15 minutes. You can contact me at 503-528-5582.
Okay. Well, you know, personally, I have to start with what my issues have been in the past. And my issue is that I get all excited about donating. I get there, I eat right, or so I think I do, and then they tell me, guess what? You don't have enough iron. So So how can I? What can I do to combat that?
Well, what we found is some people take iron supplements, but you have to eat iron-rich foods. The key for getting that hematocrit at that right level, you have to start at least a couple weeks before the blood drive, not 2 days before the blood drive. Or the day, you know what I mean? You got to eat those iron-rich foods. You got to eat those beans. You got to eat that cream of wheat. You got to eat liver and onions if you like it. But those high iron-rich foods have to happen now. Like if you're talking about donating now on the 15th, let's start getting those iron-rich foods in now.
Gotcha.
But Charlotta, Charlotta, tell them about the trick.
So another thing that we have found is that most African Americans were a little cold, you know, when we come in to donate. Cold.
Yep.
You know, your fingertips might be cold.
Oh, fingertips,
so we do
not
with
hearts.
The little snap thing. Okay. No, just, you know, your hands might be a little cold. So sometimes if you come in and you do the little snap, just snap your fingers, get that blood flowing up there, get it a little warm. When they go to do that little prick on your finger to get that hematocrit, you'd be surprised how many. Well, see, numbers, it goes up. Some people have come in and been like at 12, 13 and not able to donate. And then you do the little
snap.
4 or 5, you hit that 16, 18 where you can donate. So I call it the snap when you come in and donate.
Okay.
It works.
Donna knows.
Okay. So you're looking for, your goal is 100 then?
Yes. In order to achieve that 100, we have to have at least 125 people coming through the door. And the reason why for the 125 people coming through the door is because people get deferred for low iron, or they may be taking a medication, or they may have went on a vacation and visited somewhere where they're not eligible to donate. There's like many reasons why you might get deferred.
Sure.
So what I try to do is build that into my goal.
Okay.
So usually we have an average of between 15 and 25 people that get deferred at our blood drive.
Okay.
So we need at least 125 people coming through that door to donate to achieve that goal of 100.
Okay. Now, as usual, the blood drive is to draw attention to sickle cell anemia, because most folks, they've kind of forgotten about it.
Correct. And there's two things. It's to highlight Dr. Charles Drew and his accomplishments and what he's done and the pavement that he's paved for us to be where we are now. And then also, yes, if donors are coming in to donate, especially African Americans, there's a good chance that sickle cell patients are easier to be helped. There are sickle cell patients that come in for routine blood donations because they might be in a crisis mode.
Sure.
If we're not donating and that blood is not there in the hospital, they don't get that transfusion that day. They've been told to come back another day or the next day.
Okay.
But that's what we want to close the gap on, is to make sure that that blood is readily available for those sickle cell patients. So we have to do a blood drive not just for Charles Drew.
Sure.
We have to do September Sickle Cell Awareness Month.
Gotcha.
We should be doing Black History Month in February.
Gotcha.
So that way we can help those hospitals with that supply.
Okay. Okay.
And so also, I just wanted to ask, is it true, because I know that we need to widen the net a little bit, but when I went through one of the workshops and I learned that also folks of Asian descent can have some elevated sickle cell?
Yes.
Not only African Americans.
No, they are finding that it's not just African Americans. Let's be honest now, we all know that we're all got something in us. We're mixed with something. And that just comes from history. So now they are finding that there are other cultures that are having sickle cell crisis issues and traits.
So come donate, help your people.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I understand that there is a committee called the Red Cross Umoja Resource Group, and that each year they set different models and themes. What's the theme this year?
Yes, the theme this year is to increase minority blood donation. And what that is educating, setting up more blood drives, going out and doing outreach tables. I just did an outreach table at Pastor Strong's church, Life Change, on Sunday.
All right.
Nice. We signed up 15 people in an hour and 15 minutes.
Nice.
I have the sign-up sheet in my car. I mean, that's how important this is, that going out, doing those tables outreach, it just gets that information out there even more. In that 15, we have 4 first-time donors that we talked to that signed up, that's coming in to donate.
That is just really wonderful.
Nice.
So, Sister Hammond.
Yes.
What's your role in this?
Well, we've been involved for over 12 years, and full disclosure, I have mixed emotions about donating.
Okay.
I have anxiety when it comes to donating, but I also feel very motivated.
Okay.
My anxiety is that, you know, I don't like donating, but I know it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when IBEW Local 48 and the Electrical Workers Minority Caucus was contacted, it was over 12 years, wasn't it, Charlotta?
About 12 years, yes.
And I became aware of the real need,
mm-hmm.
you know, to donate blood. That was real motivation to me. I didn't know that how important it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then several years ago, while we were recruiting for a blood drive, I discovered that one of my electrical apprentices had two daughters who had sickle cell.
I see.
Now, what is the probability of that?
Wow.
You know, that both daughters. And I am more than ever motivated now because I know that trick.
Yeah.
You know, the
snap.
Yes. Snap. And it took the right staff. On our drive, you know, we have folks who are really comfortable with us and mm-hmm. they nurture us because mm-hmm. they know some of us have anxiety around donating, and they make us feel good.
Sure.
And so one of the technicians taught me the snapping trick because I was close to being deferred again.
Sure.
But I don't have that issue anymore.
Sure.
It's no longer an issue. Yes.
I don't. My anxiety usually turns into depression when I do get deferred.
But one of my.
But I will do the snap snap this time.
Okay. But my biggest motivators is that I'm doing this work in the community.
Okay.
And I'm helping to save a life.
Okay.
Exactly. That's it for me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Saving a life.
So, Sister Malone, what else is going on that day?
We have a lot going on. We have some soul line dancing that's going to be happening in the atrium at 9:30. And if people aren't familiar with Stupid Burger, they're going to be on site doing mm-hmm. some grilling and giving us food.
Sweet.
And it's free for all presenting donors and everybody that comes in, volunteers. We're also going to be doing a raffle and vendors. So we have a vendor that will have some handbags, jewelry. We found someone that has natural skin products for African Americans.
Okay.
Somebody doing t-shirts. So it's going to be a wide range of everything that's happening there. A lot of excitement. Stop through.
Yeah, there's a lot going on from 7:30 to 1 o'clock.
Yes, all day long. We have a discussion panel that happens at 11:30.
Okay.
And that discussion panel is where they talk about sickle cell anemia. And we have Marcia Taylor, the executive director for the Sickle Cell Foundation of Oregon and Washington, that will be on that panel talking about why it's important for blood donors to come in and how the sickle cell patients are affected.
Okay.
Marcia Taylor is an encyclopedia.
Yes.
This woman is like, wow.
Yes.
She knows. She knows this stuff, and it's amazing.
And she shows up, no books,
right?
No papers.
Oh, she's
amazing. Like, she
just rattles it off. Huh?
She knows her stuff when it comes to sickle cell.
Yes, she does.
So I'm glad that she's a partner. So the Sickle Cell Foundation is one of our partners also.
Well, great. Now, I've come in the past and there have been like guest appearances from families
mm-hmm.
that have come and spoken mm-hmm. to the vendors and to the people donating about what some of the trials and tribulations. Is that going to happen again?
Well, we hope so. We've invited a gentleman who has two sons that mm-hmm. has sickle cell.
Okay.
So it's weird that we have Will LaFall last year with two daughters.
Sure.
This year you have a gentleman with two sons.
Sure.
All African American. So
sure.
You do the math of how odd that is. But hopefully we're going to get him to come and share his story to talk about how he's been dealing with it with his sons.
And the challenges.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you had indicated that the one of the main, well, secondary issues, mottos, is to increase minority.
Yes.
What are some of the obstacles as to why some people won't donate?
Well, I got it on Sunday. Top one is some people haven't been asked.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second was believe it or not, two first-time donors afraid of needles.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I asked, I said, if you're afraid of needles, what happens when you go to the doctor? Yeah. And he says, oh, well, I try not to look and just look away. I said, well, you can do that when you donate blood. I said, I'll come sit next to you and everything and hold a conversation so you won't look and so it won't be no problem. Because people don't realize when you donate, it usually only takes anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes to fill that bag.
Right? Sure.
The most process is going through your little mini health history where they ask you all the questions because we got to make sure that everything is okay with
everything
you to donate.
Matches up.
Right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take long. It's 3 to maybe 10 minutes depending on how fast you pump and fill that bag. So if you need someone to hold your hand, I'm right there. I have no problem coming
to
talk
to you. I might be calling on you.
But Charlotta, what is that new technique now where you can do the screening in advance?
That is our rapid pass.
Right.
That's where you can go online the day before your blood drive,
the day of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you can answer the pre-questions before you come in, and it saves time.
Right.
It's called rapid pass.
Sweet.
But if your appointment is at kind of 7:30 in the morning, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know what I mean, if that might help you unless you're going to, you know, get up at 5 o'clock in the morning
Is
and
that right?
sign in. But if you got an appointment at 9, 10, 11 o'clock and you're not coming in until later, get on and do that rapid pass, ask those questions, come in. They take that information. They see you've already done the rapid pass.
Sure.
You save some time.
Okay. Bam.
In health history, you do.
Bam.
All right.
A lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. For those of our listeners that have just checked in, we are the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. You're listening to Labor Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. We are, our Labor Radio highlights the works of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. And here at KBOO, it's where the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our guests tonight are Charlotta Malone and Donna Hammond. And tonight we're discussing the 14 annual Dr. Charles Drew Community Blood Drive. It's scheduled to take place when?
Saturday, June 15th at the American Red Cross, 3131 North Vancouver Avenue, and that's Portland, Oregon, 97227. If you're interested in donating, you can contact me directly, Charlotta, 503-528-5582. Even if you have a question related to eligibility, which means you might need to speak with a nurse,
sure.
I can put you in touch with a nurse if you have a question you want to ask about donating before you sign up.
Okay.
I got that actually on Sunday, so there's someone that I got to pass over to a nurse where she's going to call him and talk to him before he actually comes in for his appointment.
Okay, sweet, 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 sweet. So, 14 years. And the goal again is to increase.
Yes,
folks. All
yes.
right. And
so,
you said you need a, you'd like for at least 125 to sign up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because some people aren't as lucky to be successful.
Right.
Is that about right?
Can get deferred.
May I ask you a quick question? Is
yes.
there an age limit that you, young to age from how old will you start to?
Good question.
You have to be at least 16 with parental consent, and we do have parental consent forms. So if your son or daughter wants to donate, you have to sign the form. Sometimes what we ran into, kids are eager, especially when they turn 16 the first time to donate, and they come in and donate, but they forget to bring their form from their parents.
Gotcha.
It has to be signed or they can't donate.
Sure.
There is no upper age limit on donations.
Okay.
As long as you're healthy, you feel fine,
sure.
you don't have any complications, you can even donate if you like pre-diabetes, as long as you're not on any medication, things like that. If they're just like borderline things, donating actually may be able to help you.
Gotcha.
But if you're taking certain medications, you want to make sure you talk to a nurse before you come in to donate, because
so
it might be something you can't donate.
Right. So if you're taking medication, bring a list.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And aspirin, I believe, is 48 hours. So
if
you've taken aspirin within the last 48 hours, you won't be able to donate.
All right.
So, yes, it's really, really important. Even if something as small as an aspirin, if you're not sure, it's better to call. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, sweet.
And so I just want to say something to my sisters and brothers out there that have needle fear. And so I'd have a really hard time giving blood in the doctor's office. I've never had a hard time giving blood at the American Red Cross. I'm not even joking. Seriously. No fear, no nothing.
Yay.
It doesn't hurt. But I get really queasy and have to look away, and they have to walk me sometimes in the mm-hmm. doctor's office. But there's mm-hmm. something about this, and maybe because it's that life-saving, it's mm-hmm. going to go to help somebody do something somewhere.
That yes. is true. Because when you're doing it at the doctor's office, most likely they're doing it so they can run tests, you know what I mean? Send it down to the lab, your little vials, whether it's 3, 4, 5, 6, how many ever you need.
Sure.
But when you're actually donating and you know you're looking at that bag and that's going to go and help somebody.
Right.
And I'm a witness to that because I've received blood.
Sure.
I work at Red Cross and I've received blood sure. just from having a baby. And to know that that same blood or that bag I'm telling you about, I looked over and right. looked at that barcode and I knew it was from my region and thought, yeah. Yes, yeah. I'm good.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned regions. It seems like there are a lot of natural disasters that are happening,
mm-hmm.
a lot of tornadoes and floods. Mm-hmm. And so there is a real need for
yes.
blood donations.
Yes, it is. Blood donations, personal things, items that people may need that they have lost. But you wouldn't believe some of the people do get hurt in these floods that mm-hmm. where they do need blood donations.
Right. Right, right,
where
right.
if you think about it, all that water there, if they don't have a safe place to set up, even Red Cross to set up so they
right.
can take in those people,
right.
let alone help them.
Right.
Yeah. We need to come together all over. It doesn't matter. But yeah. yes, blood donation goes further than a lot of people think.
Yeah.
But we just really need to make the community aware.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because people don't know how important it is. I didn't know how important it was to donate blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd love to take a poll and find out how many know their blood type. I ran into six people yesterday that said, I don't know my blood type. If I donate blood, will I find out? Yes, you will find
yes.
out. They will send you a donor card with your blood type on uh-huh. it 6 to 8 weeks after you donate, and bring that card in every time and it gets updated.
Gotcha.
Even if you forget mm-hmm. to bring it in, there's a system when you come in electronic that it'll track it for you, but you will find out what your blood type is. I was just a little surprised. You'd be surprised how many people don't know.
Well, it's kind of like these days of calling your own phone number.
Yes.
Oh. Phone number.
Those of us who are old school, we remember what our phone numbers are, but now with the new age, you know, fast phones, there's no need to learn it unless, of course, you lose it.
Right.
So.
Well, I tell you, with natural disasters happening,
yes.
you better know your blood type.
Yeah. Yes.
Because if you don't have all that information and you lose it, and something happens to you and you need help,
that's true.
They're going to have to
They have to
you.
Give you O negative. They don't yeah. have time to type you.
Gotcha.
There's no such thing. In any disaster, they do not have time to type you, which means they're rushing you, got you in the ambulance, get you to the hospital and say, oh, let's type her blood so we can give it to her.
Sure.
You might not have that long.
Sure.
They're going to give you O negative right then.
Okay.
But if you have a donor card on you and something happened and they're going through your stuff,
mm-hmm. okay.
and they know you're B positive or O positive, well, guess what?
Preach.
They may be able to help you a lot quicker than you think,
gotcha.
Even right there on the scene, because they know, oh, we need 2 units B positive stat when we get there, versus we don't know mm-hmm. and we got to give them O negative, have
right.
it ready.
Yeah.
Right.
We need to know our blood type. You should be donating, even if it's only once or twice a year.
Gotcha.
Now, you can donate 6 times a year.
Okay.
One person can donate 6 times a year. That's all you can get. But you should be donating at least twice a year.
Yeah.
Okay. To save somebody's life.
But that's whole blood, right?
That's whole blood.
But platelets?
Platelets is, you can donate platelets every 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Every okay. 14 days.
So what's the difference?
And platelets is where you go in and sit down, and it's a process that probably takes about 2 hours because you can watch a movie. And what they do is they take it out of one arm and then they hook you up and it's like where they're saline and everything and the plasma goes back to you and they only take out, you know, what they need and then separate it and give you back certain parts. Where it is like a separation of the blood.
Ooh, sounds where like it is Star Wars.
Whole blood, you actually donating blood, you know what I mean? And it's a pint.
Oh,
so
right.
have you ever seen like blood where it's separated and you see all the plasma and different things and a little yellow part and it's not very much in it?
Uh-huh.
Those are what it's separating and doing. It's plasma, platelets, and then they're giving you back your the saline solution, which red cells, because we only need the plasma and the platelets.
Gotcha.
And you can make some money on the plasma side, I've heard.
Can you?
Yeah, well, Let me go ahead and talk about that. I'll put it out there. So what she's talking about is because they have the plasma centers. Plasma centers is way different than Red Cross. But what she's saying is people can go out and donate plasma, and then they pay you 25, 30, 40 bucks. Well, the only difference is that plasma that they're using is not usually given to patients. It's used for other things because they don't do the same tests we do. Think about it. You're paying. Somebody's giving you money to give, which means you don't go over the same, you know what I mean? Like health history questions that we may ask. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit more flexible because what they may be using it for or testing it with or doing with it. So that's the difference. Red Cross does not pay you to come in and do your plasma because we're giving it to a hospital. You know what I mean? For patients. So that's the difference.
Sister girl, I can't believe you.
Well, I mean, but that's a good question because some people do wonder when you start talking about platelets and plasma and they say Red Cross and then they be like, well, I go in every, you know what I mean, and get money. You need to know that there is a difference.
Well,
thank you for platelets or plasma probably is not going to the hospitals with the patients and, you know what I mean, unless they're going a little bit deeper. But I'm thinking if they're paying you.
Well, thanks for making that clarification because I hate for somebody to be saying, you know, come to get blood and say, yo, where my money at?
No.
I just want to say, Charlotte, that information is so important. With what's happening today, if it's not a shooting, if it's not a bad weather, tornado, flooding, we're in hurricane season. We need to know. You need to get all your particulars in order. Don't say it's not going to happen here on your job or wherever else.
I agree.
That information is almost as important as your driver's license.
I agree.
That information, your blood type and anything else, and have it easy accessible. But things is happening
really quick.
And who's taking care of you don't know. They could mistreat you.
Well, what happened if you're alone? And then somebody finds you that don't know you. I mean, the first thing somebody, if something happens, is find you, they're trying to help you, is, one, they're going to see if you're okay, but they're going to look and see who you are. Do you have any ID? Do you have any...
So, I've also heard, because years ago, as we were first starting to get cell phones, that they said to put them in your phone in case of emergency, ICE, and then put the person's information. So, I have the American Red Cross phone number in my phone. I'm going to put my blood type in there. Because they say that, so emergency personnel... They'll look at that stuff.
They do. They do.
So that's an easy place and an easy
way. Anything that happens in any type of emergency and you're not coherent to help them, they have to try to find out who you are, who your family is, somebody. And so they're going to dig through your wallet, purse, whatever to get information. Just like if I have allergies, severe allergies where I carry EpiPen. How are they going to know that if I'm, you know what I mean? So you want to make sure you have that information and you tell people, you tell your friends. Like right now, I have an EpiPen in my bag right now. If something happens, just dump my bag out and it'll fall out. But you want to make sure that those people know these things because it's happening more and more. And people are not prepared. And see, and what I'm worried about is we are going to have a disaster here in Oregon. I need you guys to know that. Well, I noticed that you don't want it to happen, but just according to everything that's been happening and everything that they've been talking about, and we're close to 2020, it was 2022 that they predicted that we may have an earthquake or something massive of St. Helens because depending on will erupt depending on what happens.
So now you're bringing up my anxiety again.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I just, I mean, and I know it's talk.
Should I snap my fingers?
And I know it's talk, but we always want to make sure you prepare for as much as you can be.
So can you give us a quick rundown of who your sponsors are this year?
Yes, I can. We have Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. We have Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity. Colas Construction, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Electrical Workers Minority Caucus, Local 48, Kaiser Permanente, Kappa Alpha Phi Fraternity, Omega Psi Phi, Oregon Black Chamber of Commerce, Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Self Enhancement, Sigma Gamma Rho, Go Donna, Sisters for Life, The Lynx, Portland Observer, and the Sickle Cell Anemia Foundation of Oregon, and Zeta Phi Beta Sorority.
Wow. So I want to thank you two ladies for coming in and giving us a quick rundown on the 14th annual Dr. Charles Drew Community Blood Drive.
You are welcome.
Real quickly on something. By the way, IBEW 48, I saw you at the Starlight Parade.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, real quickly,
everywhere.
The Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Actually, we just returned from the international conference in Atlanta, which was fabulous. Mm-hmm. It was really, and I learned something and terminology now that when you used to say African Americans, you might want to say descendants of American slaves. So I just want to throw that out there if you want to hear that. Also, just real quickly, Juneteenth is coming up. We, CBTU, will be in the parade. That'll be June 15th. We'll also table at the event. Also, we'll be involved in the Good in the Hood celebration, June 22nd. We'll also be in the parade, and we'll also table at that three-day event. We are out there. And this last thing, our Coalition of Black Trade Unions meeting will be the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State and County Municipal Employee William Bill Lucy Building, 6025 East Burnside, here in Portland. Join us June the 11th. 2019.
Yes. With that being said, holla.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsors of Oceans, Flamenco, and Vivo on Monday, June 3rd from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Milagro Theater in Portland. Flamenco artist Savannah Fuentes performs her latest work, Oceans, Flamenco, and Vivo. The water-themed presentations will feature singer-percussionist Jose Moreno and guitarist Pedro Cortez. Both musicians are third-generation Spanish flamenco artists and reside in New York City. Again, that's Oceans, Flamenco, and Vivo on Monday, June 3rd, from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. This is an all-ages performance. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.